This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show for first Saturday in October 2012. What is today? The 6th of October, isn't it? Yes, indeed. You know, I don't think about this too much, but yesterday was October 5th. And that date kind of sticks in my mind. That was the day I shot my first deer. Been many moons ago, however. Many moons ago, 42 years ago, I had wanted a bow and arrow. I wanted to shoot a deer with a bow and arrow. So my parents had gotten me a bow for my 12th birthday. It was a Browning Cobra, a little short bow. And I'd practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. It's a recurve bow, wooden arrows. Hilbre points, H-I-L-B-R-E, long, extended broadheads with inserts. Made it a four-bladed broadhead. And I had hunted, starting when I was 13, with a rifle for deer, for archery and so forth. And that was... I believe it was a Monday evening, if I remember right. It was right after the first day. I was out on a local farm in Somerset County, Pennsylvania. I had walked in on the trail, not previously scouted, didn't know anything about scouting, just knew there were a lot of deer in the area. And I found a double tree, a big oak tree. And the two trees came off a common stump. One of the trees had been logged out. One of them had been cut down. I clambered up on that cutoff stump, and I was probably 6 feet off the ground. The other big tree was in front of me. And I saw a movement. Deer stepped out. I pulled the string and released the shot, and the deer disappeared. And what I didn't know is that the deer went down immediately. Done. So I thought. Not knowing anything about bow hunting, not ever having heard much about, you know, letting the... And I was an avid reader. And I just didn't know, you know. Kid, 16. So I jumped down off that big stump with another arrow knocked and walked over to where I'd shot the deer, trying to see where he'd gone. And the deer jumped up. And off he went. And just as he entered a big brush pile, I mean a brush pile, gigantic brush pile, just, I mean, tops of trees just one over the other, I loosed another shot. And I knew it hit the deer, but I didn't know where. So into the tangle he went, and me right after him. And I could hear him going out the other side, and when I got to the other side, there was no deer trail, no blood, no nothing. So I retraced my steps. I went back, and I found blood, and I tracked the blood trail all the way over to the big tangle. And again, went in that big tangle brush and got through it. Saw some blood on the inside of that tangle, and that was about it. So I come out the other side. I had three choices. I could go straight out into the farm field. I could go left into the farm field. Or I could go right into the woods. Well, me figuring, hey, it's a deer. He's going to want to go for protection in the woods. Not realizing how hurt he was, turned right. And walked trails till I ran out of daylight, watching along the side, see if he jumped off the trail. I ran out of daylight. So just at the very edge of dark, I said, I've got to go back. My car was in the shop. I was driving, and my car was in the shop. My dad was picking me up. I said, all right, and I'll go back and get my dad, and we'll get some lights, and I'll get call Buddy, and we'll come out, and we'll search for this deer. And I headed back to where my dad was going to pick me up at the edge of the field, and lo and behold, I saw a little lump laying in the field and walked over, and this can't be my deer. But sure enough, it was. And that's the story. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. I'd like to hear your story. By the way, I was just looking on the website. I'm wondering if that picture of that deer is on there. It might be. Let's see. I'll tell you in a second. If you'd like to communicate with us here, it's 1-800-WCBM-680, 1-800-922-6680. Or 410-WCBM-680. Yep, there's the picture. There I am in my woodland camo shirt, pair of blue jeans. There's the wooden arrows with the Hilby points. My Browning Cobra bow is strung over my shoulder. And I've got that deer by the ear. He's hanging up by the hind feet, by the hind legs in the hocks, and I've got that deer by the ear. It wasn't a big deer. It was a nice deer. It was a nice button buck. Very tender and delicious, if I recall. But that's me with the old horn rim glasses on and the long hair and the bright red camo hat. But, yeah, if you want to see that picture, it's on ellisoutdoors.com. And you go to the Outdoors and Radio Show page and go to Meet Alan. Meet Alan. And you'll see that picture. A lot of good memories. A lot of good memories. So I shot my first bow with a recurve, first deer with a recurve bow. Now, if you're out this morning out and about traveling, please pay attention to where you are on the highway and your surroundings. The deer are feeding this morning. There were five deer at the corner of Rolling Road and Old Court Road this morning, including a little spike buck. He looked to be a satellite bull. There were does and fawns there along with this little immature spike buck. Excuse me. And they were all within 25 to 50 yards of the road. And so those of you who are venturing out bow hunting this morning, you're going to be looking for deer headed back to the bedding area because they're already feeding. They're not up and doing anything other than feeding right now. It's completely dark out. So early on, sunrise, you're going to be watching for deer slipping back to the bedding areas, just in case you're thinking about it. All right. What else do we have? Oh, yes, indeedy. Yes, indeedy. Hey, for those of you who think you'd like to support youth in Maryland, youth hunting in Maryland, there's an organization called youthoutdoors.org, youthoutdoors.org. They are having a fundraising banquet tonight in Cumberland. It's at the Holiday Inn in Cumberland. The cost is $30. And for a single person, $60 for a couple. There's a supper, raffles, and a live auction. And we are reaching out to those folks who are interested in promoting the youth outdoors. And you can go on the website, youthoutdoors.org, and find out more about that. And then let's see what else we've got. Coming up next hour, if it all works out, you remember the commercial fisherman Chris who called from North Carolina, who's going all over the country testifying at and promoting his arguments about reduced harvest and conservative harvest of commercial fisheries. He is a grouper and snapper fisherman from North Carolina. If you'd like to check out his website, you're welcome to do so. He'll be joining us. Apparently, he has some connections here in Maryland. He'll be joining us at the top of the next hour. And the big story that does my heart good. story came out a week or so ago. After deliberating for barely 30 minutes Tuesday morning, a jury convicted a Carroll Valley man of the most serious charge he faced in the November 2010 shooting death of a game warden. This is in Adams County, Pennsylvania, right across the line. And this is from, thank you, this is from the Hanover Sun, Christopher L. Johnson. And we had calls about this earlier in the year. So Christopher L. Johnson was found guilty in Adams County Court of first-degree murder for shooting and killing wildlife conservation officer David L. Grove on November 11th, 2010. Since prosecutors had announced their intent to seek the death penalty if Johnson were convicted of first-degree murder, the trial entered a second phase Tuesday afternoon in which the jury will decide whether to sentence Johnson to death. By the way, while I'm reading, we are giving a muzzleloader away for the next one for the next 3 months, one at the end of October, one at the end of November, and one at the end of December. As we have done for a number of years here, we actually cleared that with folks at CVA this week. So we are giving away a break action CVA Wolf 50 caliber. If you'd like to enter to win that muzzleloader, here's what you do. You pick up the phone and you call 410-WCBM-680 or 1-800-WCBM-680. That's 410-922-6680 or 1-800-922-6680. Number's 922-6680. And you call in. And here are the rules. When you call, you give your number to our producer. He will make a note of your name and phone number. Then you must go on the air. You must go on the air and simply say hello, share a story, or say, just wanted to win the muzzleloader. As long as you go on the air with me, you're in the contest. If you're not willing to go on the air, you're not going to be entered into the contest to win a free muzzleloader. At the end of the month, everybody's name goes in the hat. We pull a random ticket. The ticket number matches the name, and that person wins a muzzleloader. We have some other prizes coming up, too, from some other sponsors. So that's how you do that. 410-922-6680 if you want to win a muzzleloader. Now, the question of whether the jury would convict Johnson of first-degree murder or the lesser charge of third-degree murder lingered throughout the 7 days of the proceedings. Johnson's defense team did not dispute he fired the shot that killed Grove, but contended it was third-degree murder, saying Johnson lacked the intent to kill, which is required for a conviction of first-degree murder. Well, Grove was killed during a gunfight that broke out as he attempted to detain Johnson on suspicion that he had killed a deer illegally. Johnson's passenger that night, Ryan Lawman, testified that after Grove pulled them over, Johnson said he was not going back to jail for carrying a firearm as a convicted felon. Johnson got out of the truck, backed up towards Grove as ordered, but when Grove placed a handcuff on him, Johnson pulled a handgun from his waist, trial testimony indicated. 25 shots were fired in the exchange, 15 of them by Johnson, who reloaded once. This is the shooter. This is the killer, Johnson. He fired 15 shots. He reloaded once. Grove was hit 4 times, though testimony indicated 2 of the shots were fired from his own gun. The fatal shot struck the back of Grove's neck and severed his brain stem, according to testimony. Imagine his last thoughts. Johnson was also wounded in the exchange. Johnson told police he was shooting into the air and at the ground in attempts to get Grove away from him. In addition, the defense argued that Johnson had been drinking on the day of the shooting and was too intoxicated to form the intent to kill, that his vision would have been impaired because of the headlights shown on his pickup. The defense also presented testimony that indicated Grove shot first during the exchange, but the arguments fell short of influencing the lesser verdict. I mean, this, you got to understand this choir boy. He was influenced by evil alcohol, devil rum. And, you know, if he hadn't been out illegally shooting deer, he had probably been home caring for his aging aunt and, you know, petting his puppy or his kitten. I'm not sure. First degree murder is punishable by either life in prison without the possibility of parole or death. The jury will decide Johnson's fate at the conclusion of the hearing. Johnson was convicted on a charge of persons not to possess firearms. He was a convicted felon who had done hard time. Firearms not to be carried without a license and possession of a criminal instrument. Because the jury found Johnson guilty of first-degree murder, it did not render a verdict on the third-degree murder charge. Adams County Judge Michael A. George had told the jury that a verdict on a third-degree murder charge would be unnecessary if a guilty verdict for the first-degree murder was rendered. Want to guess how it comes out? Hey, Brian, nobody wants to win a muzzleloader, unless they're waiting for me to conclude this story. Well, here comes another article from the Evening Sun, Hanover Evening Sun. I will have the conclusion when we return. But right now it's time for me to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop in Lansdowne, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. They are getting ready for all the hunting seasons. Of course, archery season is underway, and they do carry the great Coda bow and Parker crossbows, as well as the vertical bows, including the G5, which is a compound bow ready to hunt. It's got all the accessories ready to go. You can check that out. Clyde's also carries a full supply of Thompson Center muzzleloaders, just in time for the muzzleloader season. And you can find them there, Triumph and the Omega and all of them, at Clyde Sports Shop. Clyde's is located at 23, and don't forget, fall fishing is great. And they've got all the bait and tackle you need for that. And they do have a fishing hotline, 247-FISH is that phone number, 247-FISH. You can call that 24/7. Clyde Sports Shop is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. You can call them at 410-242-6108. That's 242-6108, or visit them online, www.clydesports.com. Two S's in the middle, CLYDESSPORTS. And don't forget, they're your full-line Browning dealer.
Big Buck Scents Cold Scent has a fast-growing reputation for attracting big Maryland bucks. Several friends of mine have used Cold Scent with great results. Big Bucks, Maryland's Eastern Shore's home to Big Buck Scents. Big Buck Cold Scent is different than those mass-produced bottles you see on every shelf. First, it's one deer to one bottle. That's a 4-ounce bottle, too. Plenty for the rut. Now, the deer urine is collected and immediately refrigerated. It's kept cold, and the vital elements will not break down and become less attractive. Trust me, there's a science behind all this. Big Buck Scents arrives at your local dealer cold in its own refrigerator. You keep it cold till you use it, and you will see the results. Try Cold Scent Vanilla Bean, Doe in Heat, Dominant Buck, or Doe Pea in the 4-ounce bottle. For more information, visit the website BigBuckScents.com or visit your local dealer. Ask for and use Cold Scent by Big Buck Scents. If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Don't miss the best of Rush Limbaugh on Rush's Weekend Review every Saturday afternoon from 12 to 3 on the most powerful names in talk, Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
I drive a John Deere tractor, yeah, I work these fields sun up, sun down every day. I got a camo hat that says, get her done, and I believe in the American way. And I believe in God, and I believe I'll have a beer at the end of the day. 'Cause I'm bona fide, certified, basic, Eastern Shore, redneck, USA. A Remington 870 pump is in my pickup truck. On the gun rack, and that's where she stays. I got a bumper sticker, says there ain't no life west of the Chesapeake Bay. I drink Budweiser beer in the 10-ounce can. Us locals call it the sure thing. I'm bona fide, certified, basic, Eastern Shore, redneck, USA.
There we go. Ha ha. Hey, let's talk to Mike in Parkville. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you?
Excellent.
Yes, sir. What's up?
Well, just on our way out to go bond, and I just wanted to give you guys a call. And the youth shooting programs are excellent. The state of Maryland has, or some places in the state of Maryland.
Right. Yep.
Farmer County Game and Fish offers a youth shooting program for the shooting 22s. I believe it's like the second Tuesday every month.
Mm-hmm.
And they also offer the hunter safety course for free, too, as well. Probably the only place left in Maryland that does that.
That does what? The hunter safety course for what?
Offers the hunter safety course for free.
Oh. Hmm. All right. Well, what are they doing today, Mike?
I'm not sure what they got going on today. They may have a hunter safety course finishing up today or another one that's actually starting Tuesday.
Okay. So you called me to, you want to win the muzzleloader. You're going bow hunting.
Yep.
You called to promote the Baltimore County Fish and Game Youth Program. And
right.
I assume you're a member.
Yes.
Okay. But you weren't aware that they're having a muzzleloader hunter sight-in today.
No, they're not having it today. They offer a hunter safety course.
Why aren't they having it? Why aren't they having it today? That's what the notice that I got says they're having it today.
It may be on today. I'm not sure what the I hadn't looked at the calendar to see when it is.
Oh, well, maybe you ought to check that out and call me back.
Okay.
Thanks, buddy.
You can do that.
See ya.
All right, thanks.
410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Here's the verdict. Christopher L. Johnson, who killed a conservation officer. Wildlife conservation officer, Pennsylvania, Officer David L. Grove, after he pulled him over for poaching nearly 2 years ago, has been sentenced to death by lethal injection. Those of you who are doing a fist pump, I agree with you. After nearly 4 hours of deliberating, the jury came back on Thursday night with their unanimous verdict against 29-year-old Carroll Valley man accused of shooting and killing wildlife conservation officer David L. Grove after he pulled him over for poaching deer nearly 2 years ago. In a tense courtroom, Adams County Judge Michael A. George asked the jury foreman if they had come to a verdict. "We have, Your Honor," the foreman said. "Their verdict by unanimous decision," he said, "was the death sentence." A shout of, "Oh, my God," broke the silence, followed by sobs from Johnson's family. Johnson was found guilty Tuesday of murder in first degree. In Pennsylvania, the only two punishments for this crime are life in prison without parole or death. It is up to the jury to weigh the aggravating and mitigating factors to determine which of these two sentences is appropriate. God was mentioned again by the judge. "May God have mercy on your soul," the judge says as he sentenced Johnson. Following the sentencing, Adam County District Attorney Sean Wagner said that since the time of the shooting, he has said that he will seek the death penalty against anyone who intentionally kills a police officer in the line of duty in Adams County. "You have to take a stand," Wagner said. "We're not going to put up with this. When an officer is killed while doing his job protecting and serving the public, those in law enforcement will do what it takes to make sure that justice is served," said Wagner. "But there are no winners in a death penalty case," the district attorney added. "Both families have lost a son. My heart goes out to the Topper family and to the Groves. There are no winners." "Still, it's a verdict and a sentence that honors the memory of Grove," Wagner said, adding he hoped it would bring Grove's family some peace and closure. Wagner said the Grove family declined comment. Members of both families testified during the penalty hearing. So, anyway, let's talk to Bill in Millington. What do you think, Bill? Bill?
Okay, I work law enforcement.
Yes, sir.
And I'm appalled at Grove's actions, and I believe the jury is just and the sentencing is just.
No, Grove was the man that was killed.
I'm sorry.
Johnson.
Johnson. His actions are despicable. They're despicable.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, God forgives all. but you got to ask. And it doesn't appear like Mr. Johnson was at that point in his life where he was ready to change his life and his behavior. He was drinking. He had a handgun with him. He was unauthorized. He was a felon. He wasn't allowed to have a gun in his possession. Shot a deer out of season illegally. And, you know, man up. Pay the price. Okay, I shot a deer. I'm a convicted felon. I'm going to go down on a weapons charge. But to take a life for that and not think that through? Hey, may God have mercy on his soul. I agree with the judge.
Not to not give that officer the value of the life of that officer no more than the a deer or an animal.
Yep.
Just, you got to be held accountable, and I'm a proponent for stiff sentences for repeat offenders.
Yep.
And so be it.
Yep, so be it. I agree with you, Bill. All right, buddy. Anything else you'd like to say?
No. Heading out in the woods this morning. It's going to be a quiet morning.
Yep.
No wind.
Yep.
Had a moon last night, so hopefully we see some critters moving around.
Well, I don't know if you were listening earlier, but the critters are already moving around. There's deer up and feeding right now in the dark. Of course, they tend to do that on a full moon or you know, a big moon. You know, I was telling the bow hunters, you'll have to be aware and watching coming off the ag fields headed for the bedding areas. That's the direction you're going to see the deer. So
good deal.
Yep, and this evening will be the better time. You've got that weather coming in. You've got cold weather coming in. A wind might switch around a little bit and not be so good, but there'll be a lot of deer activity this evening. So, all right, Bill, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Well, good deal. Thanks, sir.
You're in a drawing. Take care.
Outstanding. Thank
Alrighty.
You.
Bye-bye. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680, 1-800-WCBM-680, 1-800-922-6680. Your thoughts, you're welcome to share them with me if you are appalled that a murderer would get the death penalty. Please, come on. I want to hear your opinion, you know. Sent a picture of an odd-looking fish to the Department of Natural Resources and said, what the heck is this? And it was caught by Charlie Gishler. He's the guy that talks about the snowplows being hooked up and ready to go. He works for the, the Department of Transportation as their spokesman. And he was fishing. Sent me this picture of these two fish side by side. One was a white perch. The one underneath it was a very similar size and very similar looking fish, but had more of a rounded nose. And rather than the black, dark tail, it had a yellow tail, more of a rounded off edge on the yellow tail. If I shared this last week, forgive me, but I was prompted by a DNR response here this morning. Turns out that this fish is a silver perch, more common in the lower bay, and they do occasionally run with the white perch, but they do prefer more salinity than the white perch, and probably not as able to tolerate fresh water as the white perch. Now, someone brought up the name sand perch for you Eastern Shore old-timers who used to fish for sand perch. This could be the same thing. I don't know the answer. I was talking to a biologist friend of mine who said there's only one species of white perch, even though some people call the big dark ones with the dark black backs or the darker backs black perch. They're actually, they're white perch, not a subspecies. So let's talk to Richie in Rock Hall. Hey, Richie, how you doing, buddy?
We're doing pretty good. How are you this morning?
Good. What's up?
We're just going down to Eastern Neck Island today. They got a youth hunt going on. We're going to try this. Me and my buddy are going to see if we can get us a couple of deer this morning.
Oh, good. Bow hunt, huh?
Oh, no, it's a shotgun hunt.
Oh, on Eastern Neck. Yeah, exactly. Yes, Eastern Neck. And you live in Rock Hall?
No, we live in Baltimore, but we just rode down. We're
Oh, you applied for the hunt. Okay, so you applied for the hunt and they picked your name. Is that right?
Yep.
Good deal. Well, all right. Now, look, are you going to send me a picture of your deer?
I will if we get one.
All right, buddy. Ellis at ellisoutdoors.com. That's it for anybody to email me anything. And we appreciate you listening. Do you listen often, or is this the first time you heard the show?
Every day we go hunting, we listen.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad to hear it. Well, you know, we're on 52 Saturdays every year.
Okay.
Every Saturday, so if you're getting up fishing or hunting. Well, what's your buddy's name?
Andy.
Is he in the car with you?
Yeah, he's here.
Let me talk to him.
Here he is.
All right.
Hello?
Andy.
Yeah.
How are you?
Doing good.
Are you excited?
I am.
What kind of,
get one.
Yeah, what kind of shotgun are you using?
Remington 870.
Remington 870. What kind of slugs are you using?
Remington.
Okay.
Yeah.
That works. How old are you?
15.
15. Have you killed a deer yet?
Yep, I shot my first one last year. He was able to hook me up last year, too.
Oh, that's cool. Good to hear that. Good to hear that. Very good. Put Richie back on.
All right, here he is.
Thanks.
Hello?
Richie, how old are you?
I'm 15 also.
You're also 15. Good deal. What kind of gun are you using?
Browning A5.
Okay. Have you shot a deer before?
Yeah, I've shot 17.
How many?
17.
17 deer.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, good. Well, look, you guys send us a picture if you get one today, all right?
All right, I will.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, you have a good day.
You too. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. All right, let's talk to Jim in Pasadena. Good morning, Jim. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing okay.
What's up?
Well, I agree 100% with you. That's what that man should have got the death penalty.
Yeah.
That's what he was. He was completely wrong in what he was doing. He was driving. He was drunk. He was poaching. That's what. And then to murder someone.
Well, he was a felon. He had a handgun he wasn't allowed to have. He had hidden it from the officer. He waited till the officer put a handgun or a handcuff on him, and then he turned around, pulled it out of his waistband, and probably pointed at the guy. The guy Grove probably pulled his gun. If Grove shot first, that's fine. I don't care. I wish he would have shot him right.
He must have been a lousy shot too.
Well, I wish he would have shot him between the eyes, and then it would have been over. You know, that
a lot of trouble.
Huh? I would have saved everybody a lot of trouble.
Yes.
You know, I mean, there are despicable human beings out there, you know, and if they and if they haven't made their peace with their maker now, well, shame on them, because it can come at any time.
Right. I agree with that.
So.
And that man should get he's going to get everything he deserves.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope he has a miserable life in prison, to be honest with you. So.
Well, he's not going to get life. He's going to get an injection, right?
That's what they say. Yeah, let's hope so. Well, let's hope it doesn't happen 20 years from now like it would in Maryland. You know.
Right. Hopefully he doesn't last that long, and then they get it done.
That's right. Very good. All right, Jim, you're in the drawing. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very
Thanks,
much.
Buddy. Yep, see ya. There he goes, Jim. Let's talk to David in Manchester about deer hunting, and then we'll take a short break. Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning, my friend.
How are you?
Doing well.
Good. What's up?
I've got my feeders up and running by this time, and I'm kind of kicking around. I've had some concerns about the hemorrhagic and the CWD.
Okay.
I just want to know what your thoughts are and where you've heard of some reports.
Where are you hunting? What county?
Both Carroll County and Northern Baltimore.
Okay.
And over towards Hereford area.
All right. I would not have a single concern about CWD in that area. There's only been one CWD case confirmed in Maryland, and that was in extreme western Maryland in Washington County.
Okay.
And that was just directly across the river from West Virginia, who has had an outbreak in that county. Not a tremendous amount of animals, but being right across the river there, we probably had an influx of some deer from West Virginia. I don't know if West Virginia allows baiting or not. I don't know if the deer that came down with the CWD, which is chronic wasting disease, for those who are listening, chronic wasting disease is a version that affects deer family, like the mad cow disease or scrapie in sheep, something like that. But the deer was several years ago. There are hundreds of deer tested, not only from that area but all around Maryland tested every year. I think it's 800 to 1,000 deer somewhere in there for CWD. We haven't had any other cases except that one. So as far as CWD is concerned, I'd feel fully confident to feed your animals. Your concern is legitimate, though, because they do believe that the sharing of bait piles and the swapping of spit, sharing of saliva and body fluids can help to increase the odds of a deer. You know, if there's one in the herd, the others can does move from deer to deer. As far as hemorrhagic disease, that is influenced primarily by the bite of a midge, a no-see-em. The midge bites the animal becomes infected, and that is not spread from deer to deer. That is an individual case of a bug biting an animal and causing that problem. That occurs more around water than it does around food. If your feeders are somewhere around water, and we've had such a dry summer, then you may have an experience where you have deer that have already been infected feeding on your feeders, but they would have had it anyway. Your feeder has nothing to do with that, because they're all automatically attracted to water. During a dry spell. So
okay. So I had a friend between Westminster, excuse me, and Manchester, mm-hmm. and back around June, July, first part of August, he had witnessed several, actually more than several does with bloody hindquarters. But he was under the impression maybe they were, you know, aborting fawns or whatnot. But then the hemorrhagic reports came out. So we're kind of wondering now if that may have had something to do with that.
May and June he saw them. That was probably a result of birthing fawns. It was probably the placenta left over that he just happened to see them right after they dropped their fawns.
Right.
And hadn't been cleaned up. But
August?
No. Well, late fawns. Yeah, late fawns, possibly.
Okay.
Possibly. That would be the doe fawns that were born this past. That would have been late doe fawns from late last year.
Right.
So.
Yeah, we kind of thought that's maybe what it was, but
yeah,
it wasn't sure what he was seeing.
Yeah, the hemorrhagic disease is a fever. It's an internal disease that affects the lungs and blows up the lungs in the deer, and it's not always fatal, but for the most part it is. We had one report, I think 11 or 14 deer on a farm in Frederick County, and this affects all deer, including the mature bucks. So that right now that is not a concern at all at this point. The midges are pretty much done, and I don't know that we'll have more hemorrhagic disease. This warm weather, though, I tell you, I don't like it. But
I don't either.
Yeah,
it's tough on the bowing.
Yep, gotcha.
It really is.
Yep. So
okay. Well, thanks for the information.
All right. Hopefully that was something. But I'll talk to you soon. Thanks, David.
Thank you, Buck.
Bye bye. Hey, we got Vince in Chestertown. We'll get to him right after we tell you about some of our sponsors, Bay Linex Spray On Bedliners in Glen Burnie. We talked to Bobby Hawkins the other day about some work to do, having a car repainted, and it has the plastic line bumpers and that type of thing that have faded out pretty badly. The car's in really good shape, but it's a little bit old, so we're thinking about Linexing the bumpers. And once the body work gets underway and the paint starts, the bumpers will come off, and we'll take them down to Bobby and have the Linex material put on. But Bay Linex does that type of specialty work, but we're talking about truck bed liners here. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, the only authorized Linex dealer in Glen Burnie, proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bed liners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. Now, the Linex bed liners, when it's sprayed on, it completely seals your truck bed. No water gets underneath the Linex liner. No water gets next to your truck bed, so therefore no rust. Completely seals the truck bed out, even though the drain holes will still drain water out. You won't get any water underneath the Linex spray-on liner or you know, like I said, next to the metal, so there's no rust. The Linex also helps deaden the sound. It protects against impact and cuts and scrapes in your bed. And also, it resists the fuels and acids and chemicals that a lot of people work with. It has a durable non-slip finish, and it cleans up just like new with your local car wash. Why not protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bed liner from Bay Linex at Glen Burnie, and imagine the possibilities. Your deck, your trailers, your underground tanks. The mobile unit can come to your farm, your business, or your home and apply the proper Linex coating that fits your need. Bay Linex at Glen Burnie, 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A or Ritchie Highway North. Visit them online, baylinex.com. Give Bobby Hawkins a call, 410-789-0199. The Buck Bomb is the hottest deer scent technology on the market. The Buck Bomb is pure deer urine manufactured in an aerosol spray. Now, the Buck Bomb, distributed in this molecular form, gives whitetails the opportunity to follow the scent trail to your stand site. The delivery rate and the large broadcast area cannot be duplicated with liquid, solid, or gel scents. Buck Bomb Doe Pea and Vanilla Curiosity work well any time to disguise your odor. Pick up a can of Young Buck or Acorn Rage for the bow season. For early muzzle loader, the dominant buck scent will challenge other bucks to seek you out. And now the heart of the rut through firearm season, try Doe and Estrus or Bone Collector Buck Bomb. Visit your local outdoor retailer, or you can order online at buckbomb.com. Learn more about the Buck Bomb, or you can call 866-850-6653. And fishermen, you can try the new Fish Bomb Menhaden Quick Slick from the makers of Buck Bomb. The Buck Bomb blows away traditional scent products. Hunt smart, increase your odds with the Buck Bomb. It's the Doe Harvest Challenge. Deer hunters, by legally harvesting a doe and donating the meat, you not only feed hungry people in Maryland and please local farmers by reducing crop damage, now you could win valuable prize packages this season. Doe Harvest Challenge offers $5,500 in prizes with 18 chances to win. This contest is limited to 13 counties. If you hunt in Carroll, Frederick, Anne Arundel, Calvert, Charles, St. Mary's, or Prince George's counties, or in Queen Anne's, Kent, Caroline, Talbot, Dorchester, Wicomico counties on the shore, and you harvest a doe, all you have to do is donate your deer through a participating FHFH deer processor. Every 3 weeks, an up to $300 winner will be drawn in each of the three regions, plus a $500 grand prize package to one lucky hunter in each region. Participating deer processors have entry cards to fill out in their shops. You can enter every doe you donate within the Region B bag limits all season long. The 2012 Doe Harvest Challenge is sponsored by the Maryland Farm Bureau, Maryland Grain Producers Utilization Board, the Maryland Soybean Board, and Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry. For more information, contact the Maryland Farm Bureau, 410-922-3426. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Unique analysis on local, national, and international developments on the Tom Marr Show, weekdays 9 to noon on Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
I'll keep my guns, try to keep my money and my religion too. Try to keep on working, try to keep on smiling. I will keep my Christian name and y'all can keep the change. I'll keep my heroes, pictures on the wall. I'll keep my family safe, you bluff and I'll call. I'm gonna keep my big BA, keep my friends the same. Keep the government out of my business and y'all can keep the change. This country should...
I like old Hank Jr. How about you, Vince? You like Hank Jr.?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
There you go. What's up, man?
Listen, I heard you talking to those two young fellows going down Eastern Neck Island.
Yep.
I'm gonna tell you a quick story.
Please.
I got picked for that one year. went down, saw one or two deer, couldn't get a shot, a little far away, come out in the evening, and you know how you talk with someone in the parking area down there, and talk to the fellow from Baltimore.
Yep.
So we leave Eastern Neck Island, go across the bridge, and I'm right behind him, and sure enough, he didn't see a thing. We come up a little rise there past the bridge, a deer jumps off the hill in front of his car, and he hits it and kills it. So he was from around Baltimore. So he got his deer from near Eastern Neck Island.
There you go. I see. That's the way it works.
Hey, listen, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
When does your new show start?
My new show? What new show are we talking about?
I thought you were following the lead at DNR, and we're going to delay your broadcast in Spanish.
Oh, no. What you got is what you got, brother.
Well, that suits me. I'll talk to you later.
No habla español there, Vince. Sorry about that. I can't seem to pull that one off. I may be able to find a co-host that could translate everything.
Oh, Lord. I'm not going to touch that one any farther.
Well, the only thing I would ask you, Vince, is if you're out there, junta tu basura. That's all.
Okay.
All right.
I'll see you. Yeah, go ahead.
Huh? That's it?
No. All right, I'll see you later.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
John in Hurlock. Good morning, John. How are you? How are things in Hurlock this morning?
Oh, as quiet gets.
Good for you.
I moved on to the Eastern Shore in the past year, and this year I started looking early for state lands that I might be able to hunt on.
Mm-hmm.
And I found a couple.
Good.
Which looked to me like good potentials. And maybe more importantly, the only one on the Eastern Shore that has an archery range.
Right.
I stopped in at that place this week, or first half of the week.
Right.
And my intent was to zero the scope on my crossbow.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady had already given me a good solid set of directions on how to find, because the strip map she had really wasn't all that great. And I mentioned that I was willing to zero in the scope on the crossbow.
Right.
And she immediately stopped me in my tracks and told me, oh, no, I can't use their range.
Really? Why is that?
Evidently, they prohibit crossbows on their archery range. Now, this is after many decades of getting crossbows into the system to where they were legal to be used.
Yeah, I understand
that. For deer hunting. And on the state property, and I stopped at the range. It's vacant. It's spacious. Anyone would have to provide their own targets.
Right.
I would have no misgivings about it. There was no one there to be injured. There was no property to be damaged. But no, we crossbow users are second-class citizens.
John,
we may not use their archery range.
John, do you have an email? Do you have email?
Yes, I have.
All right, my email address. Do you have something to write with?
I suspect your email address is in the Hunting Quarterly.
It is, but the better one is ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. And that's probably
I've heard you use it many times.
Yep, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Send me a brief email. You don't have to go into more detail. I understand that, hey, this is John from the radio. The name of the state property was. That's all I need to know.
Great.
Where I couldn't shoot my crossbow. And we'll go from there.
And it's a shame. It's a state facility.
It is. Crossbows are legal, and I'm assuming that the property is maintained by $100. So, do me a favor. Send me that information, and I will see what I can do for you about that.
Absolutely.
All right?
I thank you. Oh, you and I actually met year and a half ago.
Really?
Eastern Shore Sportsman.
Okay.
And I was the, call it elderly gentleman, headband keeping the hair out of my face.
Yeah, I do remember.
And I regret that day every time I think about it.
Why do you regret meeting me?
Because I had the premier issue in my hands.
Yeah.
and I could have gotten your signature.
Oh, you still can.
An autographed copy.
You still can?
And I failed. It was my omission, not yours.
No, well, you know what?
My blood pressure goes up every time I think about it.
Well, send me your address in that email.
I will.
All right, John, thanks.
Thank you, sir.
See you, buddy. Bye-bye.
Help.
There he goes. Whoops. There he goes. Oh, man, I just dropped Ken. Have Ken call. Did you catch him on line one? Let me see if he's on there. Ken, hello? Oh, man. All right. If we lost Ken, call back. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. Oh, while we're coming to the end of the hour, allow me to tell you one announcement here. Baltimore County Fish and Game Protective Association, as I mentioned earlier, will conduct a muzzleloader sight in today, October 6th from 9 to 3, despite what one of the members called and told us. It's going on from 9 to 3 at the club grounds. That's 3400 North Wind Road in Kearney. Cost is $5 per gun. For further information, give Robert Batchelor a call, 410-592-9276. Robert Batchelor, 410-592-9276. And let me remind you about our buddy Sean Mann. Sean Mann Outdoors. Sean Mann Outdoors. SeanMann.com is the website, SeanMann.com. If you are a goose hunter, and you're frustrated about calling and you want to learn how to call, well, I recommend an Eastern Shoreman goose call from Sean Mann Outdoors. Sean Mann created this call and put it to market in 1985. He was world goose calling champion in 1985 and went on to win champion of champions and renown as a goose call inventor and waterfowl hunter. So, go to the website, SeanMann.com. You can see all the varieties of all the Sean Mann calls, duck calls, goose calls, snow goose calls, everything and anything that Sean Mann has developed and created over the years. Or you could call the office in Talbot County. The office is 1-800-345-4539, 800-345-4539. Tell them you heard about it on the Outdoors and Radio Show and you wanted to talk to somebody about the calls. And they can take care of that for you. So we invite you to visit the website, SeanMann.com. Call the toll-free number, 800-345-4539. You can learn all about Sean Mann Outdoors, how to hunt with Sean,